Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. I'm glad to have you tonight, and I do mean that. It is the ninth day of December 2025. Welcome back to broadcast, and I hope you'll stay tuned with us. We're going to try to get a guest on, Dr. Mark Evans. If he gets, I can give him on the phone all day. Maybe he'll answer the phone tonight. We'll see. But if not, guess what? You and I are going to share some thoughts. And I really want you to come in and share some thoughts. If the guest doesn't join us tonight, it's an open line forum. You can call in and share your thoughts, ask questions, share your comments on what anything you want to talk about. Folks, please understand. I mean this with all my heart. This is not my broadcast. I've been doing it for almost 33 years, but it's not my broadcast. It's always been Christ's broadcast. And I pray that I've learned that more as time goes along, and that I appreciate that more as time goes along. I understand it better. And I'm doing a better job for his glory. But tonight, it's your broadcast too. Your opinions matter. Whatever the topic you might want to share tonight, if our guest doesn't join us, whatever topic that you might want to share, please feel free to call in and share. Don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this weekend, again, remotely. So you can join us, and I hope you will. Even though it's remote, folks, you can still watch us live on PastorButch.com. PastorButch.com, and click on Rumble at 10:30 a.m., and there we'll be. We're going to finish the lesson we started up two sessions ago entitled Weeping in Babylon. You're going to find out why that is so important. As a matter of fact, I'm saying this out of love. If you're not weeping inside today in your heart and spirit, you're not walking in Christ. That's the Bible. I'm going to prove it to you. That is in the Bible. I'm going to prove it to you. So join us if you can. 10:30 a.m. starting out. Go to PastorButch.com and click on Rumble. Or you can call the phone number and listen if you like. And I hope you'll do that at 339-209-5013. We want you to join us. I sincerely mean that. You folks, it's important that we're not doing this for me or for Phil or just a few together there. We're doing it for everybody that's watching, and everybody wants to learn. And I certainly don't claim to be the greatest teacher by any means. No, by any means the smartest or wisest man at all. As a matter of fact, when it comes to that, if I had an IQ 10 points higher, I might be a tomato plant. But anyway, I don't claim to be anything special because I'm not. I'm just me. That's all that I am. But I hope that you'll join us, okay? And I sincerely mean with all my heart that you'll come and join us for Bible study. And don't forget, The office lines are open from 9 to 4 Eastern, 5 days a week, unless it's a holiday. I'm in the office on Thursdays. Now, you can get a hold of me anytime you want to become the office, because they'll find me, and I'll get back with you, I promise. But the office line to call if you want to place an order, give a donation, or whatever you may need, we'll try to help. 800-777-4403. If you had long distance, you can call us at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448 to call and leave a message and talk to Faith if she gets a chance to answer the phone. But I will share this with you also. The phone calls during the week have dropped down to almost nothing. I mean, I'm serious. Way down almost to nothing. It's worse now than it was this time last year. So I know it's not just the time of year or the holidays coming up and everybody's trying to save the money. I know that's not all of it. But the phone calls are dropping down to it's not really worth it to keep Faith in front of the telephone every day, all day long. If they don't pick up by the first year, we're probably going to have her check the message a couple of times today, and that's it. Because I can't expect her to answer, sit around by the phone and stay close to a long time in the hope somebody's going to call. And I don't mean to come across in a bad way. But, folks, she's a busy lady. She works different places besides here for me. She cleans chalets and houses, churches. She's a busy, busy lady. So if phone calls don't start picking up at first year, I'm just going to have her check the message a couple times a day and take some stress off of her also and off our finances here. Well, I don't expect you to do it for nothing. I don't expect you to answer the phone for nothing. So she's paid for that. So if they don't start coming in a little more frequently, then we're going to just cut back a little bit, save the ministry a few dollars, which means saving your money, and take it from there. That's all I want to say about that, and we'll get back to what we're talking about here. We do have a guest tonight. By golly, we're glad to have with us Dr. Mark Evans. Dr. Mark, are you there?
I certainly am, Pastor Butch. How are you tonight?
I am fine, sir. It's good to have you. I tried to call you all day, but your voice mail is full. I can't get into you. I can't leave a message. So your phone is full. Just I'll let you know that. But anyway, go ahead.
You were calling my cell phone. My cell phone is not the best number on which to reach me.
That's the one I have, but that's okay. You worked out just fine. Well, you showed up, and that's all. I was a little concerned. Maybe you slipped your mind or something.
No, this is very important. Your show is important, and I think, frankly, our message is important.
It is. It truly is. And before I get started, first off, I want to tell you to make yourself at home tonight, Dr. Mark. Tonight's your broadcast, just like it is mine, so make yourself at home, please. But I want to share a little bit about you if you don't care. Then I'm going to let you do a little bit of a bio, too, and who you are. But, folks, a couple paragraphs here about Dr. Mark Evans. Dr. Evans believes we shouldn't sit idly by as culture, language, and music slip away. He speaks boldly about issues many in the graying generation quietly harbor. Our culture is losing its backbone as schools, media, and government prioritize celebrity and entertainment over substance. And boy, that is a very true statement. Oh, my. Evans champions self-education, teaching that every American, regardless of age, can reclaim tradition and appreciation for our nation's creative heritage. Dr. Mark Evans, Ph.D., is a composer, conductor, pianist, organist with a multifaceted background in music, writing, broadcasting, and education. I don't know why he's doing talking to me, old hillbilly. But anyway, he hosts a popular Mark My Words television program and is founder and president of Cultural Conservation, a foundation dedicated to the principle that society should preserve its cultural resources with the same care and devotion that a nation devotes to its natural resources. And I say amen, and I say probably see more important for cultural resources, because we kept that, we naturally take care of the rest of it. But anyway, Dr. Mark, that was a mouthful. That truly was. And tell the folks a little bit more about yourself, if you don't mind, and how you got involved in this. What brought your attention to this situation? Please go ahead.
Well, some of it comes from my musical background. I had become concerned about students coming out of school, many of whom had not encountered any music other than what they discovered through social media, which usually would mean simply rock, rap, and pop. Many had not read a book that had not been assigned to them, and many others didn't have a familiarity with even the most basic elements of American history. And these are things that are important to me. I describe myself sometimes as a self-proclaimed fugitive from the Hollywood rat race. I grew up in Southern California, and I grew up in the music department at a large Hollywood movie studio and did train as a composer. I was very privileged to have some world-renowned teachers, one of whom, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, many years before I was born, numbered among his pupils some of the world's most famous film composers, including John Williams, Andre Previn, Jerry Goldsmith, Nelson Riddle, Henry Mancini, Johnny Mandel, a long list. And I got out of school, and I didn't like what was going on in Hollywood. Hollywood is a very strange place. It's often misunderstood by people that have never lived or worked there. And I got involved in writing books, and that got me into broadcasting. And
let me ask you a question, please, Dr. Mark. When you say Hollywood's a strange place, what do you mean? That's interesting. What do you mean?
Well, the values of Hollywood are very strange. What I always try to tell people is there are some incredibly talented and incredibly nice people who work in that industry. I know I grew up with some of them as mentors and friends. But unfortunately, the people who control things in Hollywood typically are not talented and not nice. And that makes it very difficult, and that's one reason why many of the motion pictures and musical recordings that we like that have come out of Hollywood have been achieved in spite of and not because of the people who actually run things. So I got involved in not only in broadcasting but continuing to write books. I've written a number of books. And as a result of that, I became interested in the fact that we're in the middle of a cultural crisis. The two books of mine that probably would be of most relevance to this discussion are a book called Mark My Words, has a long subtitle, How to Discover the Joy of Music, the Delight of Language, and the Pride of Achievement in the Age of Trash Talk and Cultural Chaos. And the other one is Our Musical Heritage. And the subtitle of that one is From Yankee Doodle to Carnegie Hall, Broadway, and the Hollywood Soundstage. And when I say we're in the middle of a cultural crisis, this is a crisis that extends to good music, books, art, theater, and film.
Amen. Amen.
And it's exacerbated by our vanishing history, a decline in our language, and what I call a pervasive celebrity culture.
Oh,
and
yes,
our language and history and the arts especially define how we see the past, present, and future. And if we lose them, we lose the ability to cope with
anything. Well, you can tell a lot about a failing culture by its art and music. That's for sure. Now, I don't know how old you are. I'm not going to ask. That's none of my business. But I was born in 48. I grew up coming through the 50s, which was a decent decade, I remember. In the 60s, things changing culture started big time in the 60s, basically the mid to late 60s, and it went downhill from there. But you go ahead.
Well, I agree with you completely. As a historian, I think you can look back to the fact that certainly in music and really in many aspects of the arts, things began declining with the revolution that took place in the 60s and have become, unfortunately, progressively worse. And when people ask me, how did this happen, why did it happen, my response is typically that it's due to some very clear mistakes that people have made. They're mistakes they made in the past, and they're mistakes that we're still making today as a society. And if I may, let me mention four of these, because I think this is a key to understanding how we ended up in a cultural crisis. The first one is we make the mistake of assuming that change is synonymous with progress, and it isn't. There can be good change or there can be bad change. I sometimes say that when you hear the slogan new and improved, what you may be offered is a bigger box with fewer cornflakes. And
this is
very true. The great writer C.S. Lewis said that we all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. And Gilbert Keith Chesterton said that fallacies do not cease to be fallacies because they become fashions. And we're terribly concerned with becoming fashionable. And the great philosopher Russell Kirk was another one who said that change might not be salutary reform, that hasty innovation may be a devouring conflagration rather than the torch of progress. So what all this means is, as I said earlier, change and progress are not synonymous. That's the first principle. The second principle is fame is not synonymous with quality or achievement. And we live in what I call the celebrity culture. And we all know who the celebrities are. I don't have to mention the names. They're all glaring at us on the cover of every tabloid you see when you check out at the grocery store. The celebrities change from time to time, but the principle is the same. People have become famous just for being famous rather than for what they actually have achieved in life, and certainly in my field in the arts. The third principle of the four is that technology is not synonymous with wisdom. And we assume that if something is on a computer or you've seen it on your tablet or you have it on your phone, that somehow that it's true, that it's valid. And this is not necessarily the case. I sometimes like to point out, if I may take the liberty of actually quoting myself, George Bernard Shaw. I wouldn't dare to compare myself to George Bernard Shaw, but Shaw was fond of saying, I often quote myself, it adds spice to my conversation. Well, I will take the liberty of quoting myself. I said in one of my books talking about technology that once upon a time only birds twittered. Google was a comic strip, and the web was spun by a wise spider in a book by E.B. White called Charlotte's Web. But today everyone twitters and tweets, and everyone is in a hurry, and our attention span has become limited. And the fact that children have become very adept at technology, adept at using digital devices, doesn't necessarily mean that they're acquiring wisdom, which is a whole other issue. There's a great difference even between knowledge and wisdom. And there are a lot of people who today have a great deal of knowledge. Some of them are college professors. But as my father would have said, they haven't got the common sense that God gave to a goose. And finally, the fourth principle is we talk about what we like, but more often than not, we like what we know. Vincent Price, who was a great actor and was also an accomplished art collector, wrote a book once called I Like What I Know. And the implication is that people often like that with which they're familiar. And this is particularly true of students. Today, if you talk to students in school, teenagers especially, they're absolutely convinced regarding what they like. But when you talk to them, you find out they don't know very much, and that's a problem. So those are the four issues. Those are the causes of the cultural crisis. And then after I hear what you have to say about this, Pastor Butch, I will look forward to offering what I think are some of the solutions.
Well, it would take me another 20 minutes to answer that question because you covered me so much territory and all of it relevant and all of it very true, sadly true. I mean sadly true. And I don't think I'm telling you things you don't know. We have intentionally for over several generations now, at least two generations, dumbed our children down in the public hell holes we call schools to the point that most of them can't even read and write, much less reason and think. And the culture to them just means the latest fad, like you said, wear your pants down around your butt and hope they don't fall down and other things that just we accept it. transgenderism and everything else is all now fad and culture. So we have lost our roots of our nation's culture, what was founded in the idea of having a drive to do better and strive to do more and to achieve things that would make us, not because we want to do it for fame, but because we want to do it to help a fellow man. We've lost that drive a lot, and people have become basically lazy and indifferent in a lot of areas. So you said so much there, Dr. Marks. I couldn't begin to even cover it all, but you said a mouthful, and it's sad to say that you're right. I wish I could say I don't agree with you, but I truly do. Now you go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think we're on the same wavelength. Now, of course, even if you recognize that we have a cultural crisis, the question is, what do we do about it?
That's it, yes, yes.
There, again, there are three places that people tend to turn for a solution, and I'm sorry to say these three places are the wrong places. The first one, of course, is academia. I come from an academic background. I have a doctorate. I had a lot of experience in dealing with colleges and universities, and unfortunately, the colleges and universities, many of them, not all, but I would say the large majority, have become terribly involved in following trends. And when I first started speaking and writing about this subject, I used to talk about the academic fluff that existed on college campuses. You had, for example, at one very prominent school, a college course on the sociology of sociability. Now, that has a very impressive title. Then you find out that it was a course basically in which college students studied the idea of giving parties. Presumably that there were students who were academically dedicated to give the parties and then report on what they had accomplished.
Well, Dr. Mark, we now have a college that does a course on Taylor Swift, and I'm serious.
Absolutely. There is a university in England that actually gave a graduate degree in Beatles studies. And my favorite was a course at Northwestern University in which students were devoted to analyzing the television series Baywatch. And this, of course, was a rare opportunity for male college freshmen to not only compare notes on pretty girls, but to achieve college credit for doing so. But in recent years, the colleges also have become centers of indoctrination, and that's very serious, and it causes a great problem. Now, the second place that sometimes people turn for help is the government. And yes, the government, unfortunately, is rarely the solution. More often than not, it's the problem. The government wastes a lot of money. It thrives on cronyism. And Ronald Reagan famously said the scariest words in the English language were, "Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." And the government is not the solution, certainly, to any problems having to do with culture. And finally, we turn to the entertainment industry. And the entertainment industry, of course, is obsessively concerned with making money, and there are so many stories that I could tell you about things that happen in terms of the entertainment industry. A good example was something that occurred back in the 1970s when MGM actually took irreplaceable scores and recordings out of their music library, including outtakes from films like The Wizard of Oz and the Fred Astaire musicals. And all these things were loaded onto a truck. The truck drove out to the middle of nowhere, and all these priceless artifacts of music in the movies were dumped into a landfill. It was then covered over with concrete, and today all those artifacts are underneath the section of the Golden State Freeway. So clearly, if the government, academia, and the entertainment industry are not the solution, the question is then, what is the solution? And my view is that one of the key solutions is what I call cultural conservation. And I started a nonprofit organization, we're a 501c3 called Cultural Conservation. We have a website, www.culturalconservation.org. And the idea is that we need to devote the same care and attention to our cultural resources that we do to our natural resources. And that's the reason why I believe in self-education. I think there's an opportunity for every parent and grandparent that's concerned about his or her children or grandchildren to take action. And you don't have to ask anyone's permission. The resources are there. Certainly, we try to provide a lot on our website. The Internet provides a lot. And whenever I talk to people today and I discover that they're familiar, to take my own field in music, with other elements of music that are important, what I call our musical heritage, the great works of concert music, jazz, which is a great historical legacy, Broadway musical theater, classic musicals, and the great film scores of the golden age of film scoring. And I say, how did you become interested in these things? The answer is almost always the same. Well, my mother, my father, my grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, sometimes a teacher, sometimes a friend, someone introduced me to these things at a very young age, and this is how it happens. So I'm a great believer in self-education, and cultural conservation really is the key. So we've started a movement to encourage this, and there is a solution, and it doesn't require getting anyone's permission. You can start entirely on your own.
Well, now we're going to go to break here in just a few seconds, but about another minute or so. But so are you making headway? Are you seeing a result of all your effort? You've been trying to get this through to people for how long now, Dr. Mark?
Well, we're a relatively new organization, but in terms of making progress, it's not an easy thing to do. And when people ask me sometimes, are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Because it's an enormous challenge. Again, you're not going to get help from academia, the government, or the entertainment industry. So how do we do this? Well, I had a very eminent mentor. His name was Dr. Richard Armour. He was the dean of the faculty at Scripps College in California. He was also one of America's foremost writers of books of humor and light verse. He wrote over 60 books, as well as thousands of light verses, and he was a very funny person. He described himself as wearing two uniforms, one cap and gown, the other cap and bells. He was a great humorist. And I asked him once, Dr. Armour, are you an optimist or a pessimist? And he said, well, the optimist thinks everything will turn out all right, and the glass is always half full, but it doesn't always turn out all right. The pessimist thinks everything's going to turn out as a disaster. The glass is always half empty. Sometimes things turn out better than the pessimist thinks.
Very
true.
I like to think
of myself as a...
Hang on through the break, Doctor. I hate to interrupt you going to break, but hang on through the break, that thought. We'll finish at the break, folks. And your phone calls, as always, 717-300-1698. How many of y'all have seen a downfall of our culture in the last 20, 30, 40 years? Don't go away.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, James McKenna here for JMCC Water Filters. We're having two amazing specials on the Gravity Water Filter Elements. This is for the Berkey-style water filters, our own HI water filter elements, the best two-stage water filter elements you can buy, and also the least expensive. On sale, $199 for a four-pack, $378, that's $20 off. For an 8-pack, you buy 8, we send you 10. And the 12-pack, an amazing $100 off. That's for $497 for a 12-pack, and we send you 14. Also, the whole house water filter, typically $1,480, now on sale for an amazing $699. Call Pastor Butch office, 800-777-4403. That's 800-777-4403, while this amazing sale is still on. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back. You're going to talk to Dr. Mark Evans. I'm going to have him give us more contact information about himself. Maybe his website, so you can check him out for his help. But before I go to that, back to our guest, we're talking about culture, loss of culture tonight. Now, Dr. Mark's covering culture that we once knew was 50 years ago that's no longer there. But I just received a picture today of a different way of losing our culture. The Dearborn, Michigan Police Department, The patches on their coats or on their jackets are now written in Arabic and English. I noticed on TV now, a lot of commercials will have Arabic subtitles. Now, I'm serious about that. I'm not making this up. But this is a fact. But anyway, back to our guest, Dr. Mark Evans. Dr. Mark, you're making a point. Go and finish that point.
Yes, I was talking about my longtime mentor, my literary mentor, Dr. Richard Armour. And when I asked if he were an optimist or pessimist, he said, I like to think of myself as a realist with dreams. And I think that's a really good model for us. We have to be realistic, but we also don't want to lose our dreams or our capability of turning things around. And particularly when we talk about our cultural crisis, there are a number of components of this. For example, there is the loss of our language. Today, if you had a Shakespeare writing, he would probably write to be or not to be, you know, like that is a question. And unfortunately, we have students who are not learning how to read, write, or spell, and that's a very serious problem. And
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Can certainly be remedied. We also are losing our recognition of language through bureaucracy, through the use of big words to confuse people. I love big words, but bureaucracy is a problem. And we also have what I call the triumph of the vulgarians. Our language has become coarse and vulgar.
Yes,
and it's
yes, it
encouraged
has.
By a great many people. The great lyricist Cole Porter, many, many years ago, wrote once in a song called Anything Goes, authors who once knew better words now only use four-letter words. And when you think that Porter wrote that decades before any of us were born, you might recognize that he would be shocked today himself. The writer Robert Nathan, whom I admired very much, once said that when you talk about reality, that an April meadow is real, but so is an open sewer. It's a question of what you're to what you're paying attention. And then, of course, we also have the our vanishing history, what I call cultural amnesia. That comes from a Canadian professor called Stephen Burtman. And on our website, I have posted articles, for example, in which I ask, do your children think Churchill was a bulldog? There are stories about children in England who actually thought Churchill was the animated bulldog in a TV commercial that they called Churchill. And I ask, do your children know more about the Kardashians than they do about the founding fathers?
Guarantee
it's entirely possible that's true. The historian David McCullough wrote a number of very fine books, one of which was on the life of Harry Truman. And he was on television being interviewed by a professional broadcast journalist. And he got to talking about World War II and D-Day and the storming of the beaches at Normandy, Normandy Beach. And when the interview was over, they were walking out of the studio, and the television interviewer turned to Mr. McCall and said, gee, that was really interesting. Where can I find out more about this guy, Norman D. Beach? He thought And when I tell this story, and I tell it in front of audiences, and somebody always comes up to me afterwards and says, well, gee, that Mark, that's a very funny story, but you made that up, didn't you? That just for effect, that's not really true. Well, I have to tell you, it is absolutely true. I got it from someone, former Senator Alan Simpson, the late Alan Simpson, who was a friend of David McCullough's for more than 50 years. So that's absolutely true. And, of course, you have this again in the field of music. I was privileged to know some of the most distinguished composers in the world during my growing up years in Hollywood. And one of my earlier books on music, Soundtrack, The Music of the Movies, had an introduction by the very distinguished composer Miklos Rozsa. And Dr. Rozsa used to say that no art was worthy of its name unless it contains elements of beauty. But you don't find beauty today. And I idolize the composer Bernard Herrmann, who talked about the fact that it's important to preserve the past. You can't have a future if you don't have a past. And I believe strongly that composers, writers, and artists should be able to express spiritual and patriotic values, and they should be able to pursue styles of elegance and beauty without automatically inviting ridicule and disdain, and that's also a problem that we're facing.
That's very, very true. That is, and my goodness, obviously, Dr. Mark, you've been contemplating this for quite a while, not just now putting it in action, but this has been in your mind for quite a while for you to put this together like this and articulate your points well. Let's take a phone call from right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chance. Chance, come on in. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello.
I missed the first 15 minutes with the radio on, and I caught it. And I have to tell you, this is one of the very, very intellectually stimulating conversation. It's one of the best I've heard in years.
Well, thank
and
you.
I'm a radio, talk radio addict, you might say, for years. What is your name, sir?
My name is Mark Evans.
Mark Evans, it's a pleasure to hear you. I'd like to make a comment because not many people are intellectually stimulating. Some people you listen to for information, which are very good. You know, you listen to people for different reasons. But this is a very mind-stimulating conversation. I really appreciate it. You mentioned now, if I can get my head together because I still have the sleepies in my head, you mentioned progress and quality, and you got me thinking, Dr. Evans. Now, isn't this relative to all of us getting older and to all generation gaps down through the centuries? What I mean, in other words, all people would say, well, music was better in the 90s. Other people would say, well, music was better in the 80s. Some would say music was better in the 70s. This is an example. You see what I mean? Our parents would have said that. Their parents would have said that. Along with other things, progress, quality. In other words, things have degenerated. I found myself doing, well, I'm 65 now, but I found myself doing that over the years, thinking that what I might like, you have to realize, it makes one realize in a way that what any particular person thinks is the best to them personally is not particularly true. It could be one's own particular prejudice, for example. You know what I mean? That we all carry with us as humans. Am I making sense to you, sir?
Well, if I may, let me respond to that in two ways. The point that you're making, there are two major points, and these are frequently brought up in discussions like this. The first one is, well, it's basically just a change of generations and a change of tastes. And the second one has to do with the fact that you may like something and someone else may not like it. And my response is, yes, there are changes from one generation to another, but there's also a question of a swinging pendulum. And you can judge things not only based on the fact that they've changed, but what is their intrinsic worth. There was a famous intellectual, Dr. Mortimer Adler, who spent much of his life promoting the idea of reading great books. And he often raised the point that you can't really have an argument over what one person likes against what another person likes. He said, we can't talk about or argue about what you might like, but we can talk about how well things are made, right, how well books are written, how well music is written. And when the pendulum swings too far in one direction or another direction, it has to swing back. And that's the issue. It's not just a question of saying, well, you know, my parents like one type of music and I like something else, because if you look at the quality of what we have, you'll find that the quality has radically declined. Vince Valcone was one of Frank Sinatra's last musical directors, and he made the statement that if you were to take away the strobe lights and the amplifiers and the technology and turn those all off and unplug the speakers from many of today's pop superstars, they'd all have to pack up and go home. And
yeah,
I think that's really the problem. And some of it comes from the fact, as I said earlier, that people, this may have been before you started listening, I made the comment that we often say we know what we like, but in reality we like what we know. And you have generation of students coming out today that frankly are only exposed to what they encounter through their friends and through social media, and that's a problem. I wrote a book called Our Musical Heritage, talking about the history of American music. We don't know, for example, why we sing the Star Spangled Banner. We don't know about how John Philip Sousa wrote the Stars and Stripes Forever. But it isn't only talking about patriotic music. It's talking about the great composers of American concert music, people like Aaron Copland, people like my teacher, Roy Harris, who, interestingly enough, was born in a log cabin on February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday, in Lincoln County, Oklahoma. And as a result of all that, he wrote a number of pieces of music inspired by the historical legacy of Abraham Lincoln. We don't study the history of jazz and the great impact of jazz. We hear a lot of charges being made today about people not appreciating the culture of African Americans or the contributions of the black community. And yet, when you hear this from people, typically today, they're talking about rappers interested in making money. They're not talking about the great jazz musicians, many of whom were black. And it's an important legacy, and these are people who were really great, accomplished figures. We talk about musical theater. Musical theater did not begin with the Phantom of the Opera and end with Hamilton. And in fact, the great American musical is something that's an American invention, and it's the result of people coming from all over the world, coming from Vienna, from Germany, Hungarians, Italian opera was brought in, the English music hall, a vast number of influences from all over the place. Immigrants came here and all contributed, and as a result of that, we ended up with the American stage musical, which is a unique art form. And finally, I grew up in the music department of a Hollywood movie studio, and the great classic film scores, going back to what I call the golden age of film scoring, the 1930s, 40s, into the 50s, and then starting to decline in the 60s, there was wonderful, wonderful music written in Hollywood. Somebody once said that if you go to Hollywood and look under all the tinsel, you'll find the real tinsel. And to some extent, that's true, but there also were some very gifted and talented people. I had the privilege of having as a mentor a wonderful person that many of you probably have never heard of. His name was Irvin Talbot. He spent 45 years as the musical director at Paramount Pictures. And there are many of these things that we don't hear about, and it's a great loss, but it isn't just about preserving the past. You have people today, I can say this because I am a working composer and pianist. If you're writing today and you're trying to write with the standards and values that are considered to be traditional in our music and in our culture, your work is likely to be ignored or neglected if you're not following the latest trends of rock, rap, and pop.
That's true. Dr. Mark, I hate to interrupt you, but I get another call coming in. I'll get it too, but...
can I ask one more question?
Yes, Chance. Go ahead very quickly, yes.
Yes, Dr. Evans, have you written any books, or how can I get a hold of any of your work? It's a very stimulating conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes, I have. I've written quite a number of books. There are two of them I'm talking about at the moment. The first one is called Mark My Words, How to Discover the Joy of Language. How to Discover the Joy of Music, the Delight of Language, and the Pride of Achievement in the Age of Trash Talk and Cultural Chaos. And the second one is Our Musical Heritage, from Yankee Doodle to Carnegie Hall, Broadway, and the Hollywood Soundstage. And to find out more, do visit our website, culturalconservation.org. That's www.culturalconservation.org. And it is conservation. I was interviewed once by a gentleman who, unlike Pastor Butch, made some mistakes in my introduction. And he said, "Now we're going to talk to Dr. Mark Evans, and he has an organization. He started a movement called Cultural Conversation." And I said, "Well, I said, "Actually, it's cultural conservation." But I said, "I'm all for cultural conversation. I hope we're going to have one right now."
All right. Hey, Chase.
Well, it's been very thought challenging on a psychological, intellectual level, sir. And it was great talking to you. I'm going to make a point of ordering your books from my local bookstore. Thank you so much now.
Thanks for the call, Chance. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor. How's everybody?
Pretty good.
First, I have a prayer request. My sister is having hernia surgery on Thursday. Her name is Dorothy. If we could just say prayers for everything going good and everything going fine. In and out.
All right, sure can do that.
No complications. But we are talking about music again, and if you talk about music, music is actually created by the people. And if you go back, you can go way back to Americans, all these different nationalities came into the United States. It all blended together. But it started with a story. How to tell a story and keep people's attention while you were telling the story.
Okay.
You got Soldier's Joy. That goes back to 1726. It was written. Yeah. And then now you've got the top gospel song. And I'm going to say this is the week before Thanksgiving. The number one gospel song was AI generated.
Yes, yes, it was.
Including the vocalist.
Yes, it was. It truly was. Now, anything you want to say about that, Dr. Mark?
Well, people talk a lot about the advent of artificial intelligence. I'm very troubled and concerned by the capacity of artificial intelligence to clone voices and sounds. I'm a great believer that the greatest music will always be written by individuals, by people. You can give a digital device information, but you can't give it inspiration, and you can't give it a soul. And I think, therefore, that as a human and as a composer, I would say humans writing music will continue, but I'm concerned about the potential impact and damage that can be done by technology.
Very good point. The sad part of this today, I'm afraid, Dr. Mark, most people don't know the difference and don't care. As long as it's got a good beat or whatever they want to look into it about, that's what they're interested in. Anything else, Jan?
No, that ought to do it. We don't want to get too far into music, Pastor. You know, you're going to get me going.
Okay. Well, you call anytime.
Which one's
appreciate
better?
You.
Which one's better? Which is best? And the whole truth of the matter is that that's up to the individual, what they listen to.
It is.
It's in it.
But the sad
stuff
part
that's
is
in it, a lot of it shouldn't be there. But
I agree.
That's me.
Well, the culture's taste change and not for the better most of the time, because morals have a lot to do with music. Morality has a lot to do with the music we listen to. It really does.
It reflects people.
Yes, it does. Culture itself. Thanks for the call, Jan. Appreciate it. And unfortunately, folks, thank you. She's absolutely right on. Our culture, our morality reflects the music listened to. And I'm saying this politely, but a lot of music, things you call music today is nothing but noise. That's all it is. And a lot of filthy. Go ahead, Dr. Mark.
Well, that, of course, is absolutely true. And there's also a lot of nonsense that exists. It's true in the visual arts as well. There's a painter, and I use the word advisedly, painter-sculptor in Italy who's gotten a great deal of attention and is producing works, and he's getting paid a great deal of money for producing works that are invisible. So you can't see them. But you're supposed to imagine them, and this is what's going on. We've seen this. I'm fond of pointing out, for example, a case of an artist got a great deal of attention at one time whose name was Pierre Brasseau, and the critics said, oh, this gentleman has wonderful technique, and they wrote in glowing terms about his brushstrokes, and then it came out that Pierre was actually Peter, who was a chimpanzee living in a zoo nearby. And you find this certainly in music. And I will tell you, I've been told by some of the most successful promoters of rock music in Hollywood that they've made stars of completely untalented people. And privately, they're very proud of that. But they'll never say it on an open mic. And they certainly would not come on your show and admit it. But we can learn from our musical history, and the important thing is for people, for parents and grandparents, to begin introducing their children to the great music that I'm talking about. And our American history is wonderful. As we approach the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, we have an opportunity to take a very good look at what I call our musical heritage. That's the reason that I gave my book that title. And there are things that we can learn about. People don't realize, for example, there was a composer who actually signed the Declaration of Independence. His name was Francis Hopkins, and he wasn't an important composer, but he wrote some songs that were said to bring tears to the eyes of his good friend Thomas Jefferson. And he dedicated them to another friend of his, George Washington. And that's not a bad providence for a composer. And in addition to that, we hear, of course, about the National March, The Stars and Stripes Forever, written by John Philip Sousa. Well, Sousa did not like recorded music. He was a 19th century figure, but he lived into the 20th century. And the sound quality of recordings was so bad in those days, he didn't like them, didn't want to make records at all, even though the technology was available. And an effort was made to get him together with Thomas Edison, who was responsible for the innovations in recorded sound, but it didn't go well. Edison was not musical because he was hard of hearing. Sousa thought he said something that was disparaging of Mozart, and the meeting was not cordial. And when Sousa left, he said that listening to canned music made about as much sense as opening a tin of canned salmon while you're sitting by a fresh trout stream. So there are wonderful stories about these people who have been responsible for the creation of so much of our great music. And I would stress again in talking about the self-education, I was privileged to get to know the great science fiction writer, Ray Bradbury, probably the best-known science fiction writer in the world even today. And when he got out of high school, it was back in the Depression, and his family was poor, and they didn't have a lot of money, and he couldn't afford to go to college. So he went 3 days a week to the Los Angeles Public Library. And he educated himself. He read his way through the library for 4 years or 5 years, and he would tell people, I never graduated from college, but I graduated from the library. And today, of course, his many, many books are featured in colleges and universities all over the world.
That's right. And I hate to interrupt, Dr. Mark. We're down about the last minute or so. Would you give out your information again very slowly, how people can contact you and how to find out more about you, please?
Well, I appreciate that. Go to our website. That's www.culturalconservation.org. And my books are available. Of course, you can order them in bookstores. A very easy way is to order them on Amazon or other online book sites. And look for the book, Mark My Words, How to Discover the Joy of Music, the Delight of Language, and the Pride of Achievement in the Age of Trash Talk and Cultural Chaos. And just look up Mark My Words, and that's an exclamation mark after the name Mark. And then look up our musical heritage. The subtitle on that one is From Yankee Doodle to Carnegie Hall, Broadway, and the Hollywood Soundstage.
Okay. Wow, that's a mouthful. Folks, check out his website. And I would, and if this is, Chan says, if you found this in stimulating conversation, check out his books. I think this is somebody you might want to learn more about. And Dr. Mark, thank you so much for joining me tonight. May I contact you again in the future?
Absolutely. I've had a delightful time with you. I think
all
we
right.
agree on many things.
I think you're right.
You can tell I'm not short on words, so I'm teased about that sometimes.
All right. We got to jump, Dr. Mark. I'll be in touch. Folks, we love you and see you tomorrow night. God bless. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.